1450 AM and 98.7 FM, WDLB, Marshfield.
Good morning. This is Pastor Gary Markworth of St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 8313 2nd Street in Pittsfield, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining our broadcast of today's service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Pittsfield on WDLB 1450 AM and 98.7 FM. We invite you to our weekly services on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. May God bless and keep you now and always.
Years of marriage, which they celebrated yesterday. Thank you for sharing the news of Jesus Christ with WDLB, AM, and FM worldwide. Our service this morning is Divine Service Setting 3. We begin with our first hymn, hymn 904, Blessed Jesus, at your word. Service. This began our entrance to the kingdom redeemed in the water and word of holy baptism. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive me the iniquity of my sin. God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession of a richer office as a called ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with our intro this morning, a portion of Psalm 119. I will praise you with an upright heart.
When I learn your just and righteous decrees.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless.
Who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. You have commanded your precepts
to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast
in keeping your statutes.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will praise you with an upright heart.
Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell on the parched places of the wilderness, in uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, but does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading from St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, the 15th chapter. Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all the people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our unity of faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. You may be seated. This time I invite the children to come forward. I guess I'll come by you. But Mr. Warren disappeared too. He's back there. I think we got one coming from the... You can sit right over here. Sit right next to me. You can sit right there. Any of you take any martial arts classes yet? No? So mom and dad are safe for a few years? Yeah. Well, they always tell you, you're supposed to lead where your head's going to lead where your body should go. I've never taken any, so I'm not going to demonstrate like myself a few fool. But I also know that when I'm driving the car, I gawk. That was Paul's biggest complaint. I turn left and the car goes left. Look right, the car goes right. So I get those rumble strips and I get the beepers going on. Stay in your lane. Yeah, she always used to yell at me. But St. Paul is telling the church in Corinth, they were doubting that Jesus was raised from the dead. There was no resurrection of the body. And that means if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope. We're still in our sins. The head can also lead the heart. We believe that Jesus died, because it said so in the Scripture. And God's word is true. There's nothing that's false in it. We give thanks to God that he sent Jesus. And because he did die and rise again, we had the very same promise. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the gift of faith. We too, even if we die in this lifetime, will be raised to new life when he comes again on the last day. But if we hold still in the faith, then we will, even if we die, we will be raised again on the last day to spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's a sure and certain thing. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to be the head of his bride, his church. He made us to be his body, his bride, through the water and word of holy baptism. We thank you for leading us out of death and into new life so that we can be with you forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks much. We will continue with hymn 384, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. Savior Jesus Christ, by the presence of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, looming large over St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth is that matter of quarreling and divisions among the people. St. Paul states that very quickly, right up front in the first chapter, and it reappears throughout his letter. The antidote, of course, to divisions is to simply return, go back to the basics. Almighty God works through what is foolish in this world, what is weak in this world, and even in things that are not of this world. So away with pride, a pride that competes for status and power, because that is not how the Lord's kingdom works. Indeed, when St. Paul stepped into the Corinthian context, He in chapter 2, verse 2 states, I decided to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, there's a similar structure to this work in the 15th chapter. In chapters 12 through 14, which you've had previously in our epistle readings, there's been an extensive exposition on spiritual gifts and how they're to be used within the church. Those gifts are also, however, a temptation to have for one to be have pride, and also can be a cause of despair if your gifts aren't flashy, to find feelings of uselessness and despair. Not surprisingly, St. Paul returns to the basics in chapter 15. Those things that are most important and that are shared by each and every one of Christ's redeemed children, by us Christians. While our reading stops at verse 20 today, the goal to which is all driving us is the very end of the chapter in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. See, Jesus Christ already did everything that the Corinthians needed in his death and his resurrection. He did the very same thing for you, for me, and for the world. As a result, they and we could be confident that everything that is done in Christ will have his blessing. Paul begins and ends our text for today with an interesting contrast. Verse 1, now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. And verse 20, Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, meaning those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Did you catch that? You stand. You have fallen asleep. Both describe the life of a Christian. Standing and falling. But Paul's message to us today is that what enables us to stand is crucial in whether we will and how we fall. Paul had already warned the Christians, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall, in chapter 10. Again, in chapter 15, Paul is concerned that the people might fall away. Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. Why does Paul remind the Corinthians of that? Simply because they have been forgetting. They have been neglecting the gospel that Paul had preached to them. They've been lured away from the basics. They are not contesting nor denying the gospel. No, they're just kind of pushing it off, setting it off to the side so it can be accessed on a rainy day, something they can bring up to serve themselves if the problems are going the wrong way. But that's dangerous when you put the gospel to the side. That's how forgetting happens. People fall when they fall asleep. Either literally fall asleep or just fall asleep at the controls and don't let the gospel lead their lives. Let's have no dozing off and falling onto electric train tracks. Let's have no oblivious talking on a cell phone while ambling across the street. Let's not slip on black ice while looking at a second-story Christmas decoration. Let us not close our eyes to ignore the light of Jesus Christ in this world. It's still here, even though it's 2 months after Christmas. The light of the world is still here. Falling is not good for the Christian. So how do we avoid falling? By being awake and staying alert. Paul tells us how they're supposed to be woken from sleep, attending to the basics of the gospel. For I delivered you as of first importance. First importance, the basics. And that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture.
Then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 at one time, most of them who are still alive, though some have died, have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. The basics. Christ Jesus died for your sins. Christ Jesus was buried in a tomb. Christ Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe the best of all, he proved that he was alive by appearing to so many people. Our Lord Jesus Christ really did die with a body just like yours and mine. Jesus willfully died for your sins and for mine and for all the world. Those who buried him really did put his body in a tomb sown into hard and dense stone. That very same body did rise from the dead to life on that Easter morning. This is all well and good, but could easily be chalked up to imaginative myth or fairy tale. It could be, except for these two facts. This all happened according to the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus appeared to a lot of people on several occasions. There were witnesses to his resurrection. And those truths would hold up in a court of law. In other words, we can stand on them. Maybe you heard the creed in your mind's ears in those first few verses of our reading of the epistle. We say the creed from our catechism often, in our personal prayer life, in our morning and evening corporate worship services, confirmation class. We say it often, so that we remind ourselves of the basics, those 12 points of doctrine. And if you look in the hymnal, in all the liturgies and in the back cover, the Apostles' Creed is lined out like I line out the Lord's Prayer in your bulletin now. The 12 points of Christian doctrine, the very basics. We say the creed so we are reminded of the basics. And in doing so, we stand firm in the truth of Jesus Christ and God's Word. You see, the basics are what you need in order to be able to stand. Oh, yes, Pastor, we know all that. We know the basic. Yes, we know the creeds. We hear this reading every Easter, and we celebrate and worship our Lord in Jesus Christ, glorious and life-giving resurrection. Hey, by the way, Pastor, it's not Easter yet, so why do we have this reading today? Well, we hear this reading today because sometimes we might just simply mumble our way through the words of the creed. And I myself am guilty of it as well. You just go through the motions. We just might nod off, nearly napping, when we hear it again and again. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ dying and rising again for us on Easter morning. Yes, we might fall asleep away from Christ. How can we stand? And where can all this lead to? Some of you, those talking in Corinth, say that there's no resurrection of the body. Have you left or have you lost your senses, lost your minds? I can picture Paul saying. It's a high cost you paid for having such actions. You might want to think twice about that. Even though this darkening world wants us to think and believe that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. In fact, he's just a long fable, an imaginative myth to lead a bunch of people astray. The truth is, it is the absolute truth, unchallengeable and undeniable truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, if there is a resurrection, there is no resurrection from the dead, then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not rise also. And if he didn't rise, you who have trusted our preaching, even myself, which would be false because we've been preaching that God raised Christ from the dead. Can you picture the dilemma? Even worse, your faith would be misplaced, and you would still be in your sins. What about all our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ? As Paul says, then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. It means they've died. There is no chance of hope if Christ did not rise from the dead. What hope would there be for them? What hope would there be for you, for me, and the rest of the world if it was not true that Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father on Easter morning? The capstone of St. Paul's argument is that this church business is just useless and silly if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. He says it this way: if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. What's left if Jesus Christ did not rise? What's left is just some nice sentiment, some do-gooding, some virtue signaling. Remember, we have one driving concern here. That is what we and our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ will be raised from the dead as well. By the way, even as Paul was scolding the Corinthians, which he had to do quite often, he could also not hold back the hope in Christ Jesus. You get the contradiction when he said, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. You see, if you are asleep in Christ, God promises you will wake up and stand in eternity. Jesus' disciples recognized that point once. They saw it for themselves when Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus. That's the point that St. Paul is trying to make here in the text, or is making in the text. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's verse 20. And that's where St. Paul has been taking us from the very beginning of this chapter. You see, it's the basics. Jesus Christ's very real death and burial for our sins, yours, mine, and the world. Jesus Christ's very real resurrection is letting us know how real that they are by appearing to so many people. All in accordance with the scripture, those basics are what we need to stand. And if we stand, and if we fall asleep in Christ Jesus, we will wake up. For those who fall asleep in Christ Jesus, wake up in Christ Jesus and stand in Christ Jesus forever, never to fall again. The Lord, Redeemer, and King Jesus Christ pours out those basics in abundance upon us. Thanks be to God for his grace, love, hope, mercy, and promises, now and evermore. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds alive in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen. I want you to stand as able. We continue with the prayers of the church. And it's not as in the bulletin and his petition, Lord, in your mercy, respond with here. Our prayer. And let us pray for all people, the Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your kingdom has been made manifest in the preaching miracles of your Son, Jesus Christ. Gather together a great multitude from every Gentile nation, from Judea's remnant, that many may know wisdom come into the flesh. Lord, in your mercy, grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast to the word that has been preached to them and not believe it in vain. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord God, you bestow favor and honor and withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. Bless parents and those who teach children your ways, that generations to come would love your promises, walk in your truth, and dwell in your holy house. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, preserve us from the ways of the wicked and prosper us in your paths. We commend to you all who bear office in our land and ask you to make them a blessing to those they serve. Grant to us every joy in the calling you have given to us. We would render service to you in our works of love toward our neighbor, remembering those in need of honest labor and daily bread. Give them gainful employment according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, most merciful God, hear our prayer for those who are troubled by any unclean spirit, memory, or thought, for the sick and for all who need your healing, especially those in rehab and care facilities, those recovering from illness, injury, and surgeries, those confronting cancer, those suffering chronic pain and affliction, those confined to their homes, and those we now name before you in the silence of our hearts. Send forth your power in the name of Christ Jesus, that they would hear your word, they would be comforted, healed according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, we join with our brothers and sisters in faith as they celebrate your gift of life with birthdays this week. Abby Knudsen, Ron Wolf, Aiden Fox, Kennedy Collins. And also with Melvin and Laura Pierce Heyer, Jason and Amy Gordon, as they celebrate another anniversary in God's marriage covenant. May they and all you redeem, by your grace and mercy, O Lord, grow in faith, love, trust, and service to you and to one another. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all, Lord, who trust in you and come to eat the holy body and precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Redeemer, and King, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, life now, and everlasting salvation, which are given in this blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son is risen from the dead, and you promised that he is the first fruits among those who sleep. Preserve us in Christ Jesus with hope beyond this life. Comfort those who mourn with the certainty of Christ's resurrection. Grant us to live in confident expectation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, plant us as trees by the stream of Christ our Savior. Root us securely in his word and wisdom. Do not let us turn from you or put our trust in man, in this flesh which fail. Preserve us from all anxiety and take our fears away through right fear of you. Cause us by your Holy Spirit to bear much fruit, and when affliction and persecution come, enable us to stand firm and rejoice at the great reward that is laid up for those who trust in you. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For it had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Same also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and drink of it, all of you, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
invite you to stand as you're able to sing the Nunc Dimittis, the song of Simeon. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy would strengthen us to the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
See the promised blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our time of worship is over. Go forth with God's grace, mercy, and peace as you love, trust, and serve your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We close at hymn 790, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to God, Lord, the Almighty, the King.
men's Bible study tomorrow night at 6. If you didn't quite get it, we got 4 pages done. We got 2 more pages to go in the book. And hopefully we'll finish that tomorrow night. And confirmation on Wednesday. Also on the back, on the pulpit ledge, is a picture of the t-shirts and a sign-up sheet. You small to, I guess we need to get extra small to 3XL adults. It's actually going to be cranberry, but they printed it in gray. So the cranberry color, the white cross, and the white lettering will really stand out. And we abided by the LCMS rules for using the logo, so we're fine. It has to be white, and it's a dark shirt, so we did it right. So we'll leave it up there for a few weeks to see how many Sunday school kids will be getting theirs free. They're going to be $20 a piece, whatever size it is, and whatever is left over, and the profit, quote unquote, will go to the Sunday school for their needs. So that bowling next Sunday, a few more have signed up. Afternoon fun up there at Strike Time Lanes from noon to 3. So I'll see some more of you sign up and be up there next Sunday. Enjoy the cold weather that's coming. You stay in the house at night, you don't feel it, right? So have a blessed week.
Ninety-eight-seven FM and 1450 AM, WDLB Marshfield.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear said widespread flooding continues and the statewide impact is massive. He says there have been multiple fatalities, and ABC's Samara Theodore says the impact is not limited to Kentucky.
95% of Kentucky right now is under some type of flood warning, and even more critical, in West Virginia, we've already experienced evacuations as we have rare and catastrophic flooding currently occurring.
There are hundreds of thousands of power outages across the South, and with more rain in the forecast, organizers have moved the start of the Daytona 500 forward by 1 hour. President Trump's expected to attend. President Trump is the best friend in the White House Israel's ever had, according to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. After his meeting today with Secretary of State Marco Rubio, ABC has learned the secretary will be part of a high-ranking U.S. delegation traveling to Saudi Arabia for talks focused on bringing an end to the war in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? Owe the IRS $10,000 or more? With the IRS ramping up enforcement, taxpayers across the country are turning to tax relief helpers. Call 800-885-0622 now. End IRS stress today. Stop collection efforts, wage garnishments, and sleepless nights. Tax relief helpers can help you or your business settle your tax debt quickly and affordably. Call the Tax Relief Helpers hotline at 800-885-0622. That's 800-885-0622. Start your relief today.
WDLB Marshfield.